This is the Hollywood Casino Press Box. Now back to Frank Cusimano on 590 The Fan and 590thefan.com.
Man, you found the hole in yonder, twisting the night away. There, twisting, twisting, everybody's feeling great.
Maryhill University sponsors the phone lines. Continuing to build a more diverse and inclusive campus is a core value of the institution and one of four pillars in Maryville's strategic plan. Go to maryville.edu for more information. Martin Kilcoyne, back in studio.
Great to be here. And I have to tell you, last night, I think I was trying to get my mind right to get back in the groove, the radio groove. And I had the weirdest dream. We were all eating at Kimmel's. You took everybody down there. Like, Plowsy was there, Hoff, Charlie, like, all the radio gang. And we're all at Kimmel's. And we're just eating like kings. And then it came time to pay. And your brother Mark walks out and said, does everybody have the gift cards that Frank handed out? So, like, they're in line. This is the weirdest
thing. This is
pretty
detailed.
So people are, like, going past the cash register and handing your brother, like, these gift cards that Frank had handed out. And I'm the last in line, and I get there, and I can't find my gift card. And I'm, like, really nervous. And Frank said, oh, don't worry about it. He won't make you pay, which is probably something Frank would say. And I'm just standing there. I'm almost, like, sweating. I'm going through. I can't find my wallet. I'm like Strickland. I don't have anything on me. And he said, hey, you're my favorite guy on the radio, but I still got to make you pay. And then you go, wait a minute. You're standing right there. And then you're like, okay, now he does have to pay. And, like, that's all I remember, is there was a big argument at the counter. Your brother said, I'm his favorite person on the radio.
That's an alcohol-related dream there.
And there's a subliminal message in there. Martin doesn't want to pay for anything. The honey-baked ham, was that the scenario to where?
No, it was the turducken at Gulf Shores.
That's what it was.
Where
okay.
They said, well, Charlie Brennan's was free. Yeah. Let's check on yours.
And then we got the concert ticket story with the DeWitts.
Yes.
There's a theme here.
So what's
these
the account
dreams?
Information? Yes. Oh, let me check my routing number.
Boy.
I don't have my account with me.
And it was really weird, though, because I think it was like the final night of Kimmel's before they move.
January 31st.
And so then I was like nervously saying, you guys are going to be great. You're going to kill it at Westbury. Like, I was trying really hard, and he just said, I can't let you off the hook.
Wow.
It was really weird. Those Cusimanos drive a hard bargain.
That reminds me, the other night I was with McCormick at happy hour at Brio's, and he says, yeah, I'm buying. And well, this is kind of shocking. And so he goes
that
to pay.
That camp money finally came in.
Yeah, so he breaks out the Brio's gift certificates, which he had. And they said, I'm sorry, sir, these are not due. You can't use these until 2019.
Oh,
it was great. And I said, I'll have some lobster.
How embarrassing is that? Did he say the deal was off? It was like a wager with Strickland?
We had already eaten, so it was good.
I'm thinking about Martin's dream and adding on to where he's not adding to the portion to where he has the two steaks and lobsters.
Correct.
To go.
I'm sure I'd had a massive meal. I'd had a ton of drinks, and I just was. And everybody, like Plowsy, Hoff, it was very specific. I think I was in my brain thinking about being back at work and seeing everybody. And you guys are just parading by and just throwing down these gift cards.
Wow.
Like, oh, what a great meal. What a great time. And I just could not. I'm telling you, it was like Strickland. I had no money on me. I had no wallet. I was America's guest.
Nice.
What's the most interesting thing you did last week? Or the most fun you had, just having the family home?
Yes. Boy, we ate so much good food. We went to so many freaking parties. And, oh, I mean, gosh, from Biggie's, the steak sandwich, from Napoli, the wild boar pasta.
Was it the Clayton Napoli or the West?
Clayton Napoli. The Camus wine. I could become a wino. I really do believe that. C-A-Y-M-U-S. I'm not a big boozer at all. Career high, 3 drinks. But I could drink this wine like every freaking night. It goes down so smooth. But the problem is it's really expensive.
Well, it's very funny you mentioned that brand because we did a story on this young girl, Layla. And she's the one who needed a bone marrow transplant. And the Blues have kind of taken up her cause. Family knows Kelly Chase. And actually, I felt really bad. We were doing this piece. They provided some footage of the young girl. And at the hot course, Chaser, he's always had a big heart. He's in there visiting her. And Alexander Steen is giving her hugs. And I'm like, you know what? Maybe he's not a bad guy. Maybe he's just not. Maybe he's a little overpaid. And like I'm watching the footage that they gave us. I'm like, oh, isn't that nice of Steiner being in there? But anyway, the family has us back to do an update because it's a great story where she gets her bone marrow donor. And the way it works, I guess 50% of people that are in the registry that get called, that are healthy people, they get called and say, hey, you are a match for a 10-year-old girl in St. Louis, or you are a match for somebody out there. And they said 50% say no. Because maybe it's a female that got pregnant. Things happen in their life. So even though they're in the registry, they'll say no. So you still have this waiting period where they say, we might have a match. Hang in there. So they get this great news, and the person that was the match for this 10-year-old girl.
Wow.
And the mom gets this call, and the guy from the bone marrow place, transplant, be the match, folks, at the hospital said, not only did this person say yes, they said, they wrote back, we are excited to save her life. Like, whoever decided to do this. Isn't that the coolest thing?
Oh, that's neat.
But we go to do the story, and it was at the grandpa's house. Real nice house. And Kim was with me. It was one of my days off. And I said, I got to go do this story. It's the only day. And you do that all the time.
Yeah.
You're technically off work. And then your wife's like, what do you mean? You got to go do a story. So we go to their house. And the grandpa is there. And he said, it was, you know, it's right before Christmas. Did anybody want any wine? I said, well, I can't. I'm working, of course. But he pours Kim a glass of wine. And then we leave. She said, that was about the best wine. And I looked at the bottle. And it was Camus, which you were talking about.
C-A-Y-M-U-S.
Yeah.
Oh.
And she's like, we should get some of that. And I said, no, we should visit these people yes, more often.
Exactly. In fact,
there's a theme here, Plowsy.
last night at Napoli 2, so Brooke ordered a bottle of wine. She's 24 now. And so we were drinking it. And then the guy comes by, the manager. And I said, just for the heck of it, do you sell the Camus here? And what do you sell it for? And he says, $160. I said, wow. You know, because you could buy it at... the total wine probably for $80.
So $160 for a bottle?
Yeah.
Wow.
Just maybe that $150 range, right in there. And so I said, and then so he heard
me. I love
me
my family, but not that much.
Yeah. So he heard me talking to the group about it, how much this is. And then he came by with a bottle and he poured a couple Ooh. Glasses. Oh. And then Monique wanted to have that glass. I said, no, you have the other one. I'm drinking the Canvas.
Well, last time I saw Frank, he was doing a bag for Brooke. Instead of the box for Dom, we were leaving the Schnucks.
Yes.
And it was a bag for Brooke. And Charlie and I were doing the math. Well, that's two of those. Like, is that really all for Brooke? All right, how about five for Frank? It's brought to you by our friends at Greenville University, greenville.edu.
Time to tee up the hot topics. It's five for Frank. Brought to you by Greenville University, a liberal arts institution, just 45 miles from St. Louis.
Frank, you are Max Scherzer. You were spotted by a friend of Martin's, and they, in fact, sent me a picture at a Deerberg's, I believe, in Warston Woods, right over here, buying lottery tickets. Now, tell me, Max, are those for you, or were those stocking stuffers for friends?
Wow, with about probably $300 million already made. Holy cow.
Isn't that crazy? Somebody sent me a picture. They said, Max Scherzer is currently buying lottery tickets. So tell me, Max, those are for your friends, right?
Actually, no, I'm buying it for myself because I want to buy the Washington Nationals one day and keep Bryce Harper. Yeah, that's
isn't that
that's
crazy?
Wow.
Crazy optic to see a guy whose last contract alone was $200 million.
Yeah, my Max Scherzer story is the bragging rights game. We're in line. His best friend, or one of his best friends, is Tony Vitello, Greg Vitello's son, the outstanding coach at the University of Tennessee, who Mizzou should have hired, by the way. They're in line right ahead of us. And so Tony comes back and says hi to Dom and myself and Brooke and stuff. And then I look ahead and I go, there's Max Scherzer. And so the biggest regret of my daughter's life, who now lives in Washington, D.C., is not getting the picture with Max Scherzer. I said, go up there and say hi. Tell me you are. And just, oh, I'm too embarrassed. And then so for the next 3 hours, oh, God, I should have gotten the picture. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. You know he would have done it. He's a great guy.
I'm glad to see him hanging around town. It's crazy. I bet you they were for friends. Because when you've made $200-300 million, you're probably like, I don't care about a lottery ticket.
Imagine winning $100 million and go, yeah, well, it's not my base salary.
Right.
Yeah. What a story that would have been.
Donate it to friends. Didn't Hollywood Henderson win the lottery twice?
Twice. Yeah. The first time he won it, you know, he borrowed $25,000 from Roger Staubach at his worst point in his life, and he had a bunch of demons. The first thing he did was, after he won it, he got on the phone. He says, Roger, I got the money. Staubach never expected to see it.
And then I think he blew it all and then won the lottery again.
Yeah.
A second time. Do you even know who that is, Hollywood Henderson?
I don't, but I think I've heard the story before, but I do not know who it is.
Number 56 for the Dallas Cowboys, who once, this is how athletic this guy was, on a kickoff return against the Cardinals. The kickoff returner catches it, and Hollywood comes back as a linebacker and gets it on a reverse and goes 100 yards for a touchdown and then spikes it through the goalpost. And his biggest claim to fame is cover of Time or Newsweek where he said, Bradshaw's so dumb he couldn't spell the word cat if you spotted him the C and the A.
That I do know the quote of.
Yeah.
I'm thinking Henderson State? Why would I know that for his college? But he was T.O., he was Ocho, he was Dion before all of those guys. In terms, our list that one day was the best hot, hot dogs, it would have been him. One of the original.
Check his college.
I think it's Henderson State, and I don't know why.
Langston is the college.
You're thinking Roy Green, Henderson State.
Is that what it is?
Yeah.
Now, these stories all kind of roll together. All right, Frank, number two, most anticipated sports story or theme in 2019. What are you most anticipating in 2019?
Well, it's got to be what's going to happen this month where the MLS makes their call and whether we're finally going to win something here. I mean, is Phoenix going to come out of nowhere and, you know, sneak away with the MLS team? That's got to be, you know, the biggest story. And then, you know, as the season evolves, Billiken's NCAA and, you know, Blues postseason.
I'm kind of most interested in whether the Cardinals actually get back to the playoffs, because if they don't, how furious. I mean, people are frustrated now, and they've had a good offseason where they've made some moves. They've tried to be aggressive. But if they miss out again, a fourth year where they've tried to add an Ozuna, they've tried the Goldschmidt thing, like if it's 4 years in a row where, hey, it's not working.
How about miss it 4 years in a row and then have Ozuna and Goldschmidt leave?
Yes. I mean, aren't you fascinated how 2019 plays out? I know Tom Holly was saying earlier, guys, there's nothing to talk about, and I agree. But if we're just looking ahead at 19, that storyline, and it'll take the whole year to play out, if they don't make the playoffs, let's say they win 87, but they finish short again.
That would be brutal. By the way, Mr. Goldschmidt and his lovely bride looking for houses in St. Louis. And I asked the realtor, are they looking to buy? No, they're looking to rent.
I guess that makes sense.
Yeah.
For now. All right, number three, true or false, Notre Dame football should never be allowed in the big game again.
Oh, gosh.
Everybody sort of knew they didn't belong. But yet they got in, and I know they're good for ratings, but didn't you know ahead of time that they didn't belong in that group?
Probably. Brian Kelly, it's Brian Kelly, right? Yeah. He had these sound bites before the game saying, you know, we were so embarrassed what happened the last time we were here. This is our coming out party. This is the way to show people that we've now gone to the next level. And I was starting to buy into it a little bit. But Clemson, with that quarterback, Trevor Lawrence, and those first-round draft picks up front, they're just so scary.
All right, you are Steve Wilks. You just got fired by the Arizona Cardinals. First of all, I'm not sure how you got the job, but is there any part of you that says, God, why did we go after Bradford? Maybe if you just start the young guy right away and say, hey, we're going to take our lumps together. Bradford sort of brought some false hope. Like, they thought they could win this year. So you're Steve Wilks. Any part of you blaming Sam Bradford for your demise?
Well, ultimately, it's my decision, though, in training camp and after the exhibition games of who to go with. And I made the decision to go with Sam Bradford. So, I don't know. It's just, let's face it, wherever Sam Bradford ends up.
Is he going to get another job somewhere?
Oh, I'm sure.
He's got to be clipboard material now.
Did he finish the season? They cut him.
No, I don't even know where he ended up, if anywhere, but... Boy, they spent $20 million. You don't bring him in unless you think you're good enough to win right away. And if I'm Steve Wilks, who I didn't really know much about even when he got the job, I would have gone back and said, listen, let's just go in and we'll build up. Me and Rosen will be here together. It's going to take a couple. You do the Jeff Luno, where you walk in and day one you say, this is going to take 5 years. That's what he said in Houston. I'm like, that's the most brilliant thing. And he was right, because they were going to blow it up and tank for a while. But you tell him 5 years, you buy yourself that. You're the architect. Hey, this is going to take 5 years.
Speaking of that, as we talk about the quarterback situation, Plowsy, look where the Raiders are picking. But what do you think about this? If the Giants are 6, they need a quarterback. Jacksonville at 7 needs a quarterback. Denver at 10 needs a quarterback. Miami at 13 needs a quarterback. And then where are the Raiders picking, by the way? Well, they need one, but they have 3 picks in the first round. Don't they have 3 first-round picks?
Yeah. They have the 4th. It looks like the 24th and the 28th.
Okay, so that's it. 5 teams. I mean, do you think Drew Lock gets past Giants at 6, Jacksonville at 7, Denver at 10, and Miami at 13? And I didn't even throw the Raiders in there.
I mean, do you think there's any chance? One of the 4 will take
him. Yeah. I mean, Miami has to take a quarterback. Denver has to take a quarterback. Jacksonville has to take a quarterback. And if you know, you go Ohio State, one, and even if Bradford slipped behind the Duke quarterback.
I mean, the Bengals' defense is terrible. They'll probably adjust defense, but it's the Andy Dalton era.
You have teams like
that are kind of tweeners.
How about Marvin Lewis? They said 0-7 in the playoffs. That's well documented. But against Pittsburgh, he was 8-26. I think they probably were just kind of – he's like Andy Dalton. They're like, he's okay. He's good enough. They're good enough. And they finally just said, let's try something new. But the Bengals franchise, does that do anything for it? Just kind of, it's okay. I mean, they had Collinsworth and Ken Anderson for a minute.
Yeah, the worst thing the Bengals ever did was they hired, a guy named Tiger Williams instead of Bill Walsh. I'm reading the Bob Glauber book about Walsh, Gibbs, and Parcells, the coaching geniuses of the 80s, and they talk about how Bill Walsh was passed over after being a longtime assistant offensive coordinator of Paul Brown. And Walsh broke down. He'd left Cincinnati as soon as he got the bad news, and he went to Mike White's place out west. And he like stayed in their basement for like 4 days. He was so depressed. So.
Ends up on the Niners. Changes that franchise forever. All right, number five for Frank, brought to you by Greenville University, greenville.edu. For more information, what's your percentage that Mizzou gets it done today? Pretty confident?
I am, but
he's checking the weather.
Yeah, the weather here in St. Louis. I don't know why I looked outside here. But gosh, it's
got to be similar in Memphis.
South Carolina weather that Mizzou played at the last time. But as Tom Holley astutely pointed out, Mizzou can really run the ball. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, if Drew's got to be a game manager to get to the ninth victory, that's fine. I think they're going to win. I just think it means so much more to Mizzou. Well, big deal if Oklahoma State goes 7-6. This is a big deal if Mizzou goes 9 and they finish in style.
It feels like a shootout type of game.
Yeah.
But if it's raining, maybe not. I feel really confident they're going to win. And it's always dangerous with Mizzou to feel good about anything because then the frying pan comes around the corner and hits you in the head. But I just think they've got some momentum as a program right now. It doesn't matter when you're playing one single game, but I feel like this win is coming. And for Barry Odom, who everybody was kind of either on the fence or done with, other than T.J. Moe, after the Kentucky game, all right, that's it. This thing is going nowhere. And now you've won four in a row. 9-4 versus 8-5 is just a world of difference. I don't know why. Doesn't it sound like 8-5 is...
The similarities of the Texas Bowl and this bowl, though.
Where you thought the same thing last year. Hey, they got some momentum. And
yeah, I don't know if Texas and Oklahoma State, as far as on the field, can compare. But I know it's a big, underachieving Big 12 team that played well against really good competition. And you went in there with a winning streak. And you were down 14-0 in the first quarter. And Oklahoma State has the offense to do that. Obviously, their defense is atrocious. I just don't see this as an automatic. I still think I would bet Missouri, but I would definitely not do the points. I mean,
8-10? What is it?
I think 9.5 was the number. I mean, that's a lot of points.
I would not touch that. No.
All right, how about this, too? As you look at the 2019 Mizzou schedule, at
easy.
Wyoming, West Virginia at home without Greer, Southeast Missouri State, South Carolina, Troy, Ole Miss, at Vandy. And if you could get that game at Kentucky, you could be 8-0 headed to Georgia.
Let's see.
I wouldn't bet on it.
If you're 7-1 going to Georgia.
Okay, let's just say you're 7-1. You lose to Georgia, 7-2. Florida at home, 8-2.
Man, they're good, though. It depends on what they bring back. I don't know the
Tennessee,
roster.
And then at Arkansas. That's why. Let me tell you something.
And that Arkansas game is in Little Rock. It's not even in Fayetteville, right? They're playing it in some old beat-up, not that it matters, but it's not a true home game for them.
Yeah. Barry Odom told me in his office, or this was like 2 days before Kelly Bryant made his decision. He says, if we get him, we'll have a better record. We could win 10. I don't know if he said 10. He said, we'll have a better record.
And you look at the schedule the year afterwards, it's almost easier. I mean, there's really no true test, so they could have a nice little run here. I think it starts with a win today.
Well, you're right, though, Martin. That is the Kentucky game. That's when everybody said, it's over.
And now
he's gone from over to contract extensions and bringing in star quarterbacks.
We added that loss to the long list of Mizzou misery and terrible moments. Like, can you believe it? Another one. Now we'll never forget. We couldn't come up with a catchy title. It was the Kentucky game. But 4-4, I mean, how could you not be down and out if you're part of that program. But the biggest transformation, I will say, that day you and I, we were doing the show. It was the family business. They're in the tool business and like power supplies. And I forget the name of the company.
We were outside?
Yeah, they had like food truck.
Yeah.
Not that it all goes back to food. We were eating hot dogs, hanging out outside. But you had just the night before been with Barry at Anheuser-Busch. And he just wasn't real friendly or whatever. Yeah. And you kind of pointed out, you know, hey, you got to really embrace St. Louis, have some fun with it. And then we kind of followed up on it. And I said, he's got to work it. I mean, that's part of the job. Like at the spring game, I was down on him just for saying it's going to be like watching paint dry. And I said, you don't say that when you're trying to get people to come watch your practice. But right after that, we had that long talk. And I know then you had a chance to kind of meet with him. I think it was an awakening for him that part of this job is to kind of enjoy it and work it. And so the Bragging Rights game, he was down there, did a little scrum, and we did some interviews with him. And you can just tell now he's kind of enjoying the process instead of hating it. And it's almost like they tell you, just embrace it. Whatever your job, just embrace. I think it's changed him a lot.
How about at the Bragging Rights game when he was kind of walking through the crowd and people were yelling, Barry, Barry, Barry. The same guy who was so vilified just a few months earlier.
And I understand. Listen, we're not talking about Nick Saban. Nobody's saying that Mizzou's going to win a national championship next year. And the people like Strick and Tuna, I think they're saying, let's raise the bar. Let's not be happy with 7-8 wins. I understand that sentiment. But this guy has done an incredible transformation, I think, of how he is portrayed, or maybe he was just an old school football guy who didn't think he had to open up and be friendly or interesting. And I think he's transformed incredibly. And it goes back to that day you and I were eating free hot dogs.
That's right. It all gets back to there. Food. All right, we'll take a short time out. Before we go to break, tell you about the Bomarito Automotive family. If you're looking for a car, how about Bomarito? Go to bomarito.com, and you can search through their great inventory of new cars and pre-owned cars. 20 new car locations, 9 pre-owned car locations. I'm going to get the total from John very shortly about how many cars sold for 2018. I know it's way up there, over 30,000. We'll take a short time out. We'll be right back.